Of prayer this morning. We put a lot of prayer into planning worship, never knowing how it will touch a life or someone. But I'll let you know I'm doing the service for Frida tomorrow afternoon. And do you know what her favorite scripture passage is? It's that Ecclesiastes passage that we heard the special music from Elisa today. And so how timely and perfect for remembering her, so special to so many in this church. That we got to hear that today and remember her in that way without even knowing ahead of time. So God's mighty spirit is at work, and I just wanted you to know about that as we began this morning. Let's pray. God, in these next few moments, may there be less and less of me and more of you. For you, O God, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We are in our final week of the workbook of Living Prayer Study, and today we're going to look at how to continue the journey in our daily lives and at different resources for praying. I had the privilege of getting to participate in a group instead of being a leader. It was really a refreshing gift. Though my group did challenge me by asking tough questions of the pastor in the group, one of the questions had to do with the answers that we received to our prayers. Our meeting was the week following the marriage night that we offered here in our church. And sidebar, marriage night was a great evening filled with inspiration, laughs, and great challenges to strengthen marriages. And it was not only great just for newlyweds, but also for those still hopefully dating their spouses 50 plus years later and all those years in between. So I hope next time that we offer it, you won't feel like it's not for you, but that you all will participate. Now back to God answering our prayers. I remembered back to the marriage night portion that was presented by comedian Michael Jr. He shared with us that when he was preparing his set, and when he was up on stage, he would think, how can I get laughs from people? Then he shifted his question. He had become a Christian and started thinking differently about his call. And he began asking, how can I give people an opportunity to laugh? Finally, after more maturing, he started asking, what can I give to my audience? He'd ask this question and be open to receiving an answer, and he would listen between the gaps of his jokes. One night, this led to him being nudged by the Spirit to bring a woman up on stage, something he didn't normally do because his is a solo act. He went ahead and asked her, "What is your biggest need?" She said she didn't have any needs and was fine, but he asked again. She responded that her and her husband hadn't been on vacation, not even for a weekend away, in over 11 years. So right then he could have collected money or given her a trip. But he knew that the greatest punchlines are the ones you never see happening. So he stayed curious and he asked this next question. Well, why not? She shared that they have a special needs child, and they hadn't found a nurse that they were comfortable leaving with their child so that they could go away. So then he turned to the audience and he asked, where is the special needs nurse who can deliver their punchline? After silence in this, what probably was an awkward moment for many, they'd just been laughing and having a great time, he asked again. And a voice from the top balcony said, here I am, and came down those stairs. Once they were introduced, they realized that they only lived 30 minutes apart. Michael Jr.'s point was that we have to be asking the right questions and be willing to listen and give and willing to receive. My biggest takeaways from this past week were, do I have an attitude of giving instead of getting? Am I listening, really listening? Am I willing to receive an answer, no matter what it might be? And if I'm not hearing anything, am I asking the right question? Let's go through those again. Do I have an attitude of giving instead of getting? Asking, what can I give instead of what can I get? Am I listening? Really listening? Am I okay with whatever answer I get? And if I'm not hearing anything, am I asking the right question? I think we could end right there and you'd all be really happy. But then we'd miss out on the richness of the scripture reading from today and from all of the great resources left in the workbook. In the book, we're told that in seeking a life of living prayer, there must be times when we deliberately put ourselves in the presence of God. We consciously seek to open ourselves to God, allowing God to influence our minds, our hearts, and our wills. If you don't have those times in the presence of God, why not? Instead of starting that TV show or that book or that podcast while you're driving, take a few extra moments. Maybe the radio's blaring and it might need to turn off for a few moments to be able to listen. Maybe you might want to wake up earlier or go to bed a few minutes later. Maybe your mind is going and it needs to go because of the to-do list and the millions of things to do to take care of everyone else. Well, perhaps you give that to-do list to God and you list it out before God and make sure that is exactly what God wants you doing that day. Another time we can put ourselves in the presence of God is when we read the Bible. God can address us through Scripture, and we may hear best when we expose ourselves to a different version than what we're used to or most comfortable with. Let's listen to the version of our scripture reading today that is found in our workbook. Starting at verse 23 of the first chapter of the book of Colossians, I myself have been made a minister of the same gospel. And though it is true at this moment that I am suffering on behalf of you who have heard the gospel, yet I am far from sorry about it. This is Paul speaking. Indeed, I am glad because it gives me a chance to complete in my own suffering something of the untold pains which Christ suffers on behalf of his body, the church. For I am a minister of the church by divine commission, a commission granted to me for your benefit and for a special purpose, that I might fully declare God's word, that sacred mystery, which up till now has been hidden in every age and every generation, but which is now as clear as daylight to those who love God. They are those to whom God has planned to give a vision of the full wonder and splendor of his secret plan for the nations. And the secret is simply this: Christ in you. Yes, Christ in you, bringing with him the hope of all the glorious things to come. When we read or listen to a passage of scripture a few times with meditation, that's called Lectio Divina. We won't be practicing that today, but if we did with this passage, there could be something different from Colossians that would stand out for each one of us listening. For Dunham, it was the secret that Christ is in us, and that's what he goes on to talk about in the workbook. For me, it was reading sacred mystery, clear as daylight to those who love God. Prayer begins with attention, deliberately putting ourselves in the presence of God. John Wesley wrote, "Whether we like it or not, read and pray daily. It is for our life. There is no other way. Otherwise, we will be a trifler all our days." Our bodies need nourishment, food and water, sustenance. Our soul needs scripture and praise and prayer. We may not like it right away or all of the time, but it can become a habit. One that we start to miss when we don't do it, and one we actually come to crave and delight in. We can include Scripture as a part of our daily adventure. It is a primary resource for praying. Reading Scripture does not need to be painstaking or primarily critical. We can study the Scripture with a critical lens at a different time. Instead, we need to read expectantly. Read expectantly. Something will happen when we read and listen. We can put ourselves into the Scripture and be ready for our eyes to be opened. Using Scripture for prayer may or may not be a part of your daily reading if you're doing the plan of reading the Bible through the year. If we're using Scripture for prayer, we should read by thought, incident, or lesson. I found this advice from Dunham refreshing, something we aren't always told. It definitely took a lot of pressure off when I separated out reading for Scripture for prayer and reading Scripture to dive into the Word, though they could exist together. We don't need to be intent on reading an entire chapter or an entire book. We can read for the message, be it a few verses or many. Whatever techniques that we use, the dynamic of prayer is communion with God. The goal of prayer is a life of friendship and fellowship with God, cooperation with God's Spirit, living God's life in the world. We can pray our lives. This means doing the will of God. We live God's life in the world. Praying our lives means modeling our lives after Jesus, the primary example of prayer living. Praying our lives means bringing Christ to or receiving Christ from every person we meet. Think for a moment about an interaction you've had. How would that interaction have looked different if you brought Christ to or received Christ from the other person? Maybe you already do that all of the time. Here's a confession. I know I don't always do that. And when I take the time to reflect on what I could have done differently, it's easier to put it into practice the next time. Action and reflection are the pattern of living prayer. We are alone with God. We reflect upon how God comes to us. We seek God's will. And we live God's life in the world by checking our signals with God and with others. Others. That is so important. We need accountability from another person or a group. People to help us decipher the answers when we don't hear them or when we don't want to recognize them. This journey of prayer in our lives is amazing. If we get lost, we can ask for directions. If we don't like the road we are traveling, we can take a different route. Our prayer lives can involve different methods, different times and lengths, and will definitely look different throughout the years. The great thing is that God is constant. God is always listening, and God will always answer. We may not always hear what God is saying or recognize the answer right away. We may not like the answer, or we may hear no or not yet. But God is always there and always knows what is going on. If prayer is something that you have questions about, if your prayer life is dry as a desert right now, if you don't have the words to pray because it's just too difficult of a situation, or you aren't sure what questions to ask differently, come find me or Pastor Joseph or another staff person, or better yet, go to someone in your small group or your Sunday school class or your family, or even talk to the person you sit near week after week. I am certain they will pray for you and that they probably have a powerful story about prayer in their life or a wonderful confession to make you feel so much better. This is a community. It is your community. And we can lift one another together in prayer and continue to walk along this journey together. As we move into a time of offering, we will spend some more time going back to those four questions I asked in the beginning of the message and a couple of others. Do I have an attitude of giving instead of getting? Am I listening, really listening? Am I willing to receive an answer? And if I'm not hearing anything, am I asking the right question? Let us offer ourselves in the presence of the Lord. Amen.